Hi, welcome to Big Fat Positive with Shauna and Laura. On this week's episode, we have our weekly check-ins. We have a special interview with lactation consultant Jessica Clare, where we answer your questions and talk to her about what it's like to be a lactation consultant. And we wrap things up with our weekly BFPs and BFMs. Let's get to it. Hey, everyone. Welcome to episode 86. Hi, Laura.
Hey, Shauna.
How are you guys? How old's your baby?
My baby is 12 months and 3 weeks, and we're good. So this week has been pretty smooth sailing. We are just on the train towards walking. I don't know what you call, The crawl, the slow crawl towards walking.
The people
walking.
Mover toward walking.
Yes, yes. So I think last week I mentioned that we had been on a staycation, and he was watching his little friend Carrie's daughter walk around. So
yeah.
That sort of inspired him to take 2 to 3 steps. Well, now we're up to like 8-ish steps.
What? That's official. Good job, baby.
You think that's official? I don't know. I feel like I'm not calling it yet because he still has to be between like 2 high objects. I don't know. It doesn't feel quite there yet.
I mean, the kid has figured out how to get himself up on his feet, balance, move, step. That's walking.
Okay.
That's walking. I am giving your baby a blue ribbon for walking.
Well, you can deliver that to Pasadena, California.
Okay.
I'll make sure to put it on his wall. Thank you. Yeah, I think, you know, it's interesting because obviously it's imminent. Whether or not it's like official or not, you know, the jury is out. But it's obviously very, very close. And also, like, I've realized that it's not like a lot of these other baby milestones where, like, rolling over. You either roll over or you don't. There's not a lot of, like, in between. Crawling, yeah, you can kind of, like, army crawl or crawl backwards for a while. But, like, it's very clear whether you can crawl or not. Sitting up. You can either sit up or not, right? Like, if you sit the baby down, they fall over, they're not sitting yet. But walking, it's a kind of a more gray area. Like, when do you call it walking? You know, because he's been taking steps for a couple weeks now.
But okay, so you're just calling it taking steps at this point?
Well, I know. I feel like I'm splitting hairs.
I feel like it's all semantics here.
It is, but that's the point. That's the point I'm trying to make, is that it's not this clear cut. Like, you always hear stories about, like, you walked on this day. I don't think there's, like, a day you can pick. It kind of, like, happens, and then you realize, oh yeah, now they're walking.
I will tell you, I picked a day. It was the day she took her first step. She's walking. So I don't know. I don't feel this gray area like you do. I mean, yes, she continued to work on that skill and got much better and then could, like, actually transport herself from place to place with that skill. But to me, like, the day that she figured out that she could move one foot in front of the other, to me, that was walking.
Interesting.
So that's why I think it's walking, but I love that you have a different perspective on this. Why do you think you come from this school of thought?
I don't know. That's a good question. I feel like I, like, personally, like, if we're getting into, like, our little, you know, psychology couch, right? I'm lying down. I'm going to talk to my therapist, Shauna. I feel like I like to earn my accolades, I guess. Like, I like to be good at things. I like to make sure that I've really earned any praise. And I feel like maybe I'm projecting that onto the baby. I'm like, you're taking steps. I wouldn't call that walking. I don't know. Also, I feel like Corey's on the same page as me. Like, we're both sort of like, eh, it's close, but it's not quite there yet. Like, nice try, kid. But I don't know. Maybe that's mean. I've heard that you shouldn't, like, overly praise your kids. Not that you shouldn't praise them, but that there's kind of a detrimental effect to just praising them for every little thing. And so I'm trying to make sure that, like, I praise his effort and, you know, praise the work he's putting into it and not necessarily, like, the result. So maybe that's it. I don't know. Or maybe I'm just not ready to say I have a walker yet.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, it definitely reminds me of the growth mindset, which is from that psychologist, I think Carolyn Dweck or something. It's like growth mindset, or the other mindset, which is like you have received praise all your life and you get worried you can't accomplish things. That's totally me. The growth mindset is like, you know, appreciating the effort and working hard, and like that motivates a person. So I think that it's good that you're instilling this in him. My baby's going to be like deserving praise for every little like circle she draws and every step she takes. So
it's a challenge. I can't say that I don't just praise him with good job all the time. I try to stop. Like, mm-hmm. I try to not say good job to every little thing. Mm-hmm. But it's so ingrained in us. And you want, like, you. I really think, like, good job, baby. You know, you took a step between the couch and the coffee table. Like, that's mm-hmm. a good job. And I know in my mind I'm supposed to say, like, wow, look at you. You were really walking. You were really working hard on that. Like, instead of being like, good yeah. job, you're so special and smart and you're the most special person in the whole wide world, which is what I really want to say.
I know. It's such a balance. One phrase I've come to use is, you did it, instead of like, yeah. good job for every – I mean, I still say good job for a lot. But, you know, if she figures something out, I say, you did it.
No, that's a really good one. Yeah. You did it. You really – did it. It's hard mm-hmm. to train yourself to not say good job, but that's a really great replacement. Mm-hmm. And there's all this research that says that's the way to do it. So I'm sure in the next generation, they're going to be like, you know, parents in the, you know, 2010s and 2020s, all they did was tell us you did it. No one ever told us good job. And now we have complexes about it. But anyway, oh, so anyway, either he's walking or he's not.
Okay.
But we're holding back. I think it's going to happen in like the next couple days, but we're holding our judgment back. I'm holding off on putting it in my little baby tracker app too. Okay. So we'll see. So that's exciting though. And I think he wants it so bad, you know, uh-huh. like I think it's going to be real exciting for him when he finally gets to do it. So
aww, he's just going to take off in a full run.
Mm-hmm. I think probably. It's how he's done everything. He's just like, can crawl? I'm going to crawl so fast, it creeps you out. All right. Yeah. So anyway, that's where we're at on the physical milestones this week. So the other milestone we had this week was, you're going to laugh, I feel like, at this one.
Yeah.
I finally stopped tracking every time I breastfed.
Okay. That is a gut laugh.
I knew you were going to think I was insane. So it's hard to let go of the data collection, Shauna.
It wasn't for me, but for you, I can see why. This is a bit of your passion in life, so I feel you.
I do love data, and it did really help me remember what side I fed on the last time, because he's a one-boob feeder, and if you mess up and do two boobs twice in a row, your other boob lets you know. You know what I mean? Like, my problem is that it doesn't let me know at the time. It just lets me know, like, an hour later. It's like, what have you done? I'm walking around totally lopsided.
Yes, true.
One boob is just enormous and, like, rock hard.
Oh, God, ow. Leaking everywhere.
And I have to say, that is the downside, is that there's definitely been times I'm like, which boob is it? And I'm trying to remember. But, I just loved being able to look at the chart and be like, oh, I fed this much, this much. I want to export the data and see like how many minutes I breastfed within the first year.
Ooh, yeah, I need to know.
Yeah, I have to do that. But yeah.
So why did you stop then if you love it so much?
Well, I started forgetting and my guy wiggles around so much that like I would try to pull my phone out to like start the timer and then he would, you know, be trying to nurse upside down or something, so I wouldn't be able to do it. And then I'd forget, and then I'd try to remember later on to add it in. And finally, it was just like, wait, this is, like, what am I doing? What am I doing? I'm going back in to add the information after the fact. Like, this is getting to some, like, obsessive, compulsive situation. So I just sort of, like, let it go. I was like, it's time to do that. You'll be happy to hear, we stopped tracking diapers at, like, 2 months.
Oh, okay, good. I was really worried about what that number was going to be. Okay, two. Yeah. Okay, good.
So the only thing we track now are naps. Not nighttime sleep, because we don't really need to know. Like, he sleeps through the night for the most part, and there are occasional nights where he'll wake up, but, like, I don't need that data anymore. Mm-hmm. But I do need to know, like, when he actually went down for his nap and when he woke up. So we do that still. So I'm still using the app, but that's it. I am weaning myself off apps.
Yeah. That's good. Moving forward. Moving forward as a mom. Congratulations.
Thank you. And that was my week. Shauna, how old's your toddler? Not baby, toddler. I mean, it's going to take a while for me to get used to saying that. And what have you guys been up to?
My toddler is 13 months and 2 weeks. And last week, I think I was mentioning she was having some trouble sleeping again and, you know, waking up at night and stuff. And this week, sleep has been better. And I made a correlation, a very unscientific correlation.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah. So remember way back in the day, I had been giving Cece like that baby rice cereal that, mm-hmm. you know, you're supposed to give little babies. And she was just having the worst time sleeping, waking up screaming and writhing, right? And at some point, I was like, maybe I'll stop giving her this rice. And then she slept like a dream. And this time, so she's sleeping a lot better now. And I realized that these teething crackers I've been giving her had rice, like rice flour in them, you know, like puffs.
Mm-hmm.
Teething biscuits, all that stuff is made with rice flour.
Oh, no.
And I had been trying to avoid a lot of that stuff because I was worried. And I just didn't even think about these teething biscuits. They're the little happy baby, you know, I don't know what you call teething
mums
crackers.
Or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I had run out of them. So she hadn't been getting them for the last few nights. And suddenly she's sleeping comfortably again.
Oh my gosh.
I'm like, oh my God, I really think that this baby has a problem digesting rice. I don't know if it just causes her so much gas that she wakes up like it with gas pains or what it is specifically. But I'm like, everyone in the house, this baby gets no rice. No rice.
Zero rice. You're on
rice
patrol.
Zero rice. Yes. Which is a bummer because rice is so great. You know, Elle loves rice and we eat a lot, but I really think she has a problem with it. So
I mean, it sounds like it. It really, really does. I wonder if it's something that like you should actually bother with an allergist or just try to avoid it and move on with your life.
I don't know.
But she doesn't get any skin like issues. So it does sound digestive.
Right.
I wonder if it's something they grow out of too. Huh.
I hope so. I really hope so.
Well, that's a bummer.
Yeah. But the good news is she is sleeping better and Elle is sleeping really good this week. And almost every day this week, we've all slept until 7 a.m.
Dang.
Which is amazing. And I'm knocking on wood.
You must feel like a new woman.
I do. It really feels like sleeping in. But like I said, I'm knocking on wood so hard because I know like the second I celebrate this, it's all going to go to shit next week for some reason or another.
Yeah, you definitely just jinxed it.
I did. But I had to share because I'm excited. And when it goes right, it just feels so good. It's like, oh my God.
Was it the thing where you woke up before them?
Sometimes, yeah, I would wake up because the sun comes up. I don't set an alarm anymore ever because they always wake me up. But sometimes the sun, you know, the light in my room will wake me up and it'll be 6:30 and I'm like, wait, what's going on?
What's happening?
What's happening? And, you know, I still have a little bit of residual postpartum anxiety where it's like, what? Where are the girls? What are they? They must not be alive anymore in their room.
Yeah.
And it's like, Shauna, it's not even 7 a.m. yet. They're probably just sleeping. So I have to let some of that go. But I always like stay in bed until they wake up and scream for me.
Mama!
Mama!
Mama! Does Elle like get out of bed and come into your room or like how does that work?
Yeah, she'll get up and come into my room or if I'm already up with Cece, she'll come out into the living room and visit us in the living room or the kitchen or wherever we are.
I mean, that's great.
Yeah,
hold on to that. Hold on to that. I love how if you had talked to me a year and a half ago and said like you were going to celebrate sleeping till 7 as a sleep in, I would be like, oh, God. But now I totally get it. I'm like, ooh, amazing. Like, I didn't get woken up once. I mean, I think I still get to sleep in sort of because Corey does the morning shift with the baby. So I'll like, he'll wake up with the baby and then go out and then I'll sort of have a very long protracted snooze essentially because I'm not sleeping really well between when the baby wakes up and you know we live in a small house. I can hear the baby, you know, crying if he's crying and like mom brain will not let you sleep through that. And I'm like, he's fine, he's with dad, but I do get to have my like snooze, you know, where I'll close my eyes for 10 minutes and then I'll be like eventually getting out of bed, which is very nice. But
that
still,
is nice.
By eventually getting out of bed, I mean like 7:30, you know, like it's not exactly a sleep in.
Yeah.
Oh, Shauna, you remember how I used to sleep in?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you were a night owl. You would stay up late and get up late.
So late. I'd stay up until like if the sun started coming up, I'd be like, oh, shoot, I should go to bed. And then I'd sleep
till
like 11 or noon. And everyone, I could not understand why everyone was like so annoyed with me.
You are so funny. I've always been a morning person, so this new schedule is not the worst for me, like I'm sure it is for you, but still, it's just relentless. Like, really, every single day I've got to start at, like, 6.
Babies. We asked for them.
Yes, we did, and we love them. They're wonderful. We do.
I know, but I have to say, if anyone's pregnant and listening to this and freaking out, because if I had been pregnant and listening to this, I would have been like, oh my God, what have I done? It sounds like such a fucking cliche, but it's like, it really makes it all worth it when you wake up and your baby's like smiling at you.
Oh, yeah.
It makes it so much easier to wake up. You're tired, but you're just like so in love with this little baby and you just want to like smother them with kisses. So, yeah, it definitely has made the transition to having to be a morning person a little better for me.
Definitely. And chances are you're going to be tired as shit by like 9, 10 o'clock the night before. So you'll go to bed and get a pretty full night's sleep anyway. That's my life. But that might scare you too. You know what? Everything's great. Everything's going to be perfect. Have that baby.
Yes, we encourage you to not be worried. It'll all be fine. Actually, I do think that I'm a good example because I am a really, really, really extreme night owl. Like, I think I'm one of the more extreme examples I've ever met. Like, I really, really would, if everything else was removed, I'd probably stay up till at least 3 or 4 in the morning every night. It's gotten, as I've gotten older, maybe that's moved back, but God, in my 20s, I mean, I would regularly stay up till 3 or 4 in the morning and sleep in till like 11 if I could, you know, when I had like a freelance job or was in grad school. And if I can make the transition, anyone can make the transition.
Truly.
Seriously. It really is. I mean, we'll have to like call my mom or my brother so they can like attest to this because I was bad and I'm here to say it's really, really not that bad. So
yes, here you are.
Yes. Alive.
Alive and proof, living proof.
Mm-hmm. It is possible.
The other thing this week is that I signed Cece and I up for a Baby in Me class at the YMCA that we are a member of. And it's so cool. The YMCA, you join it, and then they have all these classes that are just free.
Oh,
so,
really?
Yeah. There's all these kids classes, dance classes, art, and then several different Baby in Me classes for different ages and everything. And I was like, oh, perfect. I've been waiting for a few months for the new session to start up. And the one I signed up for was like right near lunchtime. So it was perfect. I could like take my lunch break and go over there and have some social time. Yeah. So I was so excited. And well, we missed the first class because of her nap.
Always.
And they're like, you know, the rules of these free classes, like you got to take it seriously, right? Because they're free. I think it's like if you miss a couple classes or if you're late, we remove you from the class because they need to provide an opportunity for someone else to come in because they fill up pretty fast. So I was like already all worried about that. I'm like, oh God, we missed the first class, blah, blah, blah. The second class, we made it. And I got there, and every single baby was about 3 to 6 months old, except Cece, who is 13 months old.
Oh, no.
They're just, like, sitting there like blobs.
Oh, my God.
Their moms, I was like, oh, hi. Of course, I come late because baby. Yeah. And so we walk in, like, everyone kind of just looks at us funny, and I was like, hi, am I in the wrong class? And the teacher was like, oh, this is for the, whatever, 3 to 6 month old babies. And I was like, oh, she's 13 months old. And the woman was like, oh, yeah, let's look at the roster. And she's like, oh, you did sign up for this class, but this is the wrong class.
Oh,
and your baby doesn't belong in this class. The older class is at 10 a.m. on Wednesdays. She's like, you can stay today and then, you know, next week start coming, you know, with the right age group. And I was like, okay. So we like awkwardly stayed. Well, they did their stuff and sang songs. And I was like, I can't come at 10 a.m.
Yeah.
First of all, that's her nap time right now. Second of all, that's like the middle of my work morning.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just such a massive fail. And I was deflated and embarrassed that I just like, I don't know why I didn't sign up for the right. Like, how did I not know that that was the right class? So anyway, mom fail.
Oh, that's a bummer. That's really disappointing, too, because, like, you're like, oh, I finally get to have something.
Mm-hmm.
I bet it wasn't that clear. You're very detail-oriented.
I am, but I am overwhelmed and constantly multitasking. So I definitely see like little things like this slipping through the cracks more than they used to. Mm-hmm. Or maybe it wasn't clear. Yeah, their website is a little bit tricky to navigate for all these signups. So I don't know. Point being, we are not in Baby and Me class at YMCA.
It's tough because so many of those like kid activities are aimed towards stay-at-home moms, you know?
Definitely.
And you're at home with your baby, but you're working full-time. You can't just like leave in the middle of the day once a week, right? So yeah, it's tough. I mean, for me, I'm, you know, freelancing and staying at home, so I can make all these random classes. And as you know, like, I like to fill our days with classes and stuff. I'm a little bit addicted to classes. But yeah, I can totally see how it filters out anyone who's working. Like, and a lot of them are not on weekends, as far as I can tell.
No, there's no baby classes at this YMCA on the weekends, for sure. I mean, my gym offered a couple baby classes on the weekends. But, you know, I quit my gym in favor of signing the family up for YMCA so we could all participate in stuff and Elle could swim. And, you know, it's like I got to figure out where to spend my money and stuff. And so, I don't know. We need more baby play dates or something.
We do need more baby play dates, especially now that my baby is kind of walking. I think they'd have a lot of fun together.
Yeah, that would be fun. But yeah, so that's pretty much our week. Should we wrap this up and come back with our special segment?
I think we should.
Laura, we recently had our moms on the show, and it was so fun hearing their stories from the past.
I loved hearing what they had to share about their experiences being pregnant and having young kids. But you know they have so many more amazing memories and stories to share.
Yes, and that's why StoryWorth is such a wonderful gift for the mother figure in your life. It's a way to capture those stories and memories for years to come.
And what better time to give StoryWorth than for Mother's Day, which is right around the corner. Right now, our listeners can save $10 off your first purchase by going to StoryWorth.com/BFP.
Here's how it works. Each week, StoryWorth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, such as, what is your favorite memory of your parents?
All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter.
You'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's response as they're submitted over the course of the year. You'll get to enjoy their retelling of the stories you already know or be surprised by stories you've never heard before.
After that year of fun, StoryWorth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come.
I gifted StoryWorth to my mom a couple years ago, and her hardcover book is a special memento on my bookshelf that my girls and I love to look through.
My mom did one too and included lots of pictures from her childhood, which Sebastian and Augie love looking at.
Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. StoryWorth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to StoryWorth.com/BFP.
That's StoryWorth.com/BFP to save $10 on your first purchase. There's nothing like the feeling of being confident in your own skin. No complicated routine, no multiple step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions.
Absolutely. That's why we have to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best.
The secret to OneSkin's success is their proprietary OS1 peptide, which switches off the aging cells and has been clinically proven to strengthen the skin barrier and improve skin health markers.
For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off OneSkin products using the code BFP when you check out at OneSkin.co.
One of my favorite things about OneSkin products is how easy they are to use. I swear, I've seen skin routines with like 20 steps, but not OneSkin. Just cleanse, pat your skin dry, and apply twice daily.
We aren't the only ones who love OneSkin. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews, and were recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands in 2024.
OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer.
My skin tends to get really irritated this time of year, but since using the OneSkin face supplement every day, my skin feels calm and healthy. I've also been using the eye topical supplement, which I really feel brightens up my face.
Get started today with 15% off using code BFP at oneskin.co.
That's 15% off oneskin.co with code BFP. After your purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you.
Okay, I will be the first to admit that I don't always prioritize my own wellness. With kids and work, it never feels easy to fit in taking care of myself. But with Allo Moves, I find it easier than ever to do so.
Same. With the Allo Moves app, everything I need is in one place. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, and so much more.
If you're curious what Allo Moves has to offer, visit allomoves.com and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and 20% off an annual membership.
I love that I can easily find a class that's perfectly suited to my interests and ability level. They offer classes from beginner to advanced, and all classes are on demand, so you can fit them into your busy schedule.
They have high-intensity classes if you're looking to get in a good sweat, and low-key mindfulness classes if you're looking to get centered. They even offer help with sleep, which we all know is crucial for moms.
Ever since I watched The Art of Sleep on Allo Moves, I've been falling asleep faster and staying asleep longer.
One thing I really like about Allo Moves is that they create themed playlists, so it's easy to find content on the areas you're interested in. One of my favorite playlists right now is called Meditation for Productivity.
Ooh, I love the sound of that one. Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves. Go to allomoves.com now and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code BFP. allomoves.com, code BFP. Welcome back to the show, everyone. So this week, we have a very special interview with our friend Jessica Claire, who we've had on the show before. She is a lactation consultant in IBCLC. What does IBCLC stand for
it's
again?
It's really hard to remember, but I can do it. International Board Certified Lactation Consultant.
Yes.
There we go.
Very good. And Shauna is not with us today, but we are out in the field in Jessica's office. And so thank you for joining us again.
Thank you for having me. Super fun last time.
Yeah, we love having you on the show. So we actually put out a call for questions about weaning specifically.
Yeah.
Because, you know, as you know, my baby is about a year old and Shauna's is 13 months. And that's when people start talking about weaning. So hopefully we can shed some light on it because it's very confusing.
Yes.
And first of all, I just wanted to see if you could help us define weaning, because I feel like you hear about baby-led weaning, which is a solid food thing.
Right,
and then you hear
right.
about weaning from bottles, which is different from weaning from breast milk. So like, can you talk about what weaning is when we talk about it?
I think there's a lot of different definitions probably out there in the world, but the one that I kind of come back to always, the process of weaning, say from the breast or the bottle really, starts when that baby starts getting other things in their mouth, right?
Okay.
And typically that's around 6 months is when the baby starts solids. Sometimes some pediatricians are going to recommend a little earlier. I typically recommend waiting, not 4 months, but it's at 6 months starting around that time. And that's when the weaning process is starting, meaning we're beginning to eat and drink, possibly, if we're giving little bits of water, something other than breast milk or formula for bottle feeding, right?
Okay.
And so the weaning, especially if we're thinking about breastfeeding, I always like to really encourage people to think of it as a process rather than an event that's going to happen on one day. You know, similar to something like potty learning, right? Right. Typically, a kid is not necessarily going to go from full-time diaper use to full-time potty use in the course of a day or even a week, right? Often it's a bit of a process. And so that's one way to define weaning. It's one I like because it's kind of setting up like, yeah, we're still breastfeeding, but we're beginning that process of introducing new things to the baby with the eventual goal of not needing the breast or not breastfeeding anymore at some point, right? And that's going to look different for every family, right?
Yeah.
How long that process is, when it happens completely.
For people who are done, they're just done with breastfeeding, whether it's at 3 months or whether it's at 2 years.
Right.
Can you talk about some practical, like, how do you go about stopping breastfeeding, weaning, I guess, from the breast?
Well, just on a technical level, in order to ramp down breast milk production, you have to let the breasts be full in between feedings. And so technically speaking, let's say, you know, you would be maybe dropping a breastfeed every few days to a week, right? Because you don't want a cold turkey. Like if you've been breastfeeding your baby 8 times a day, and then the next day you stop breastfeeding altogether, you could really end up with a nasty case of mastitis, right? And so anything should be kind of a slower transition. I would say the fastest I would want someone to safely wean from full-on production, I'm talking about an infant who's nursing 8 times a day, to pretty much completely dried up, would be about a 2-week window.
Okay.
I wouldn't try to do it faster than that. And of course, you could stretch it out much longer than that too. Mm-hmm. You know, stopping production with an infant is a bit of a different game than with a toddler who has more opinions and more mobility and more verbiage even, right? So that's, it kind of gets into setting boundaries. As opposed to with an infant, if we were stopping breastfeeding, say, at 3 months, we would be gradually shifting over to bottle feeding, right? And like I said, I wouldn't want that to go probably any faster than about 2 weeks, just for the breast health. And again, every mom is a little bit different. If she has low supply to begin with, she's going to probably be able to dry herself up much sooner. If she's only nursing her 2-year-old 3 times a day and she's like, you know what, I'm pregnant and I don't want to nurse through this pregnancy or whatever, there could be a million reasons why, that would be more of a probably a boundary setting situation with the toddler, where it's like, think about, this is one strategy, is think about what's the nursing session that toddler is most attached to, and that's the last one we're going to give up. And typically that's going to be the before bed nursing, right? And so, you know, if we're talking about a 2-year-old, we could make a little a weaning book, you know, a little stick figure book with a little simple phrase on every single book, every single page that you write, you know, very, very simple, you know. Roxy wants to nurse. Mommy says only at bedtime. Roxy gets really sad. Like, you can do things like that to kind of commemorate the end of something. And also be prepared that your toddler is probably going to get really mad at you if they're attached to breastfeeding. And if you are, I think if in your heart of hearts, this is going to be best for our whole family, you have to stay with that resolve. Like, no, we're going to, here's a cup of water, or here's some milk, or here's a snack. I know you want to nurse right now, but we can read a book and cuddle, and you're going to get really upset, and I'm going to hold that space for you, but we're not going to do this, right? And we're going to, guess what? At nighttime, that's when we're going to nurse. So it kind of depends on the situation. Some kids are easier than others. Some windows of time are easier than others. So if a mom of, say, an 18-month-old who's going through a big developmental leap is having a bear of a time trying to wind down some of the nursing, she may want to wait a month and then try again, kind of like the potty training idea also, where there can be little windows of time that are easier to make shifts. But, you know, one approach too is to don't offer, don't refuse with the toddler in particular. Where it's like, you're not sitting down and offering breastfeeding, but anytime, and it, you could put limits on it, like we only do it at home or whatever. But basically when the kid asks, you know, sure, I can sit here with you for a couple minutes and breastfeed.
Because
a lot of times it's real short. And that works for some moms where they're just kind of like, whatever, however it kind of unfolds, it unfolds for us. And I'm not feeling like I need to wean the kid fast. That's that's cool too.
That makes sense.
You know, path of least resistance almost.
I was going to ask, is there, do you ever run into a situation where like a toddler will wean themselves, or is that pretty unheard of?
Yeah. And it often will be where the child will ask to nurse and then a few days will go by and they almost forget about it. And maybe they'll ask, you know what I mean? It begins to space out way far apart from each other, all the nursings. And of course, the milk supply is going to go down because of that as well. Yeah, self-weaning is a thing, but, you know, if you're wanting to try that path, you're probably looking at least 2 years. It's unusual for a child who's been nursing on demand or on, you know, whenever they ask to wean before 2 years old.
Interesting.
Self-wean.
Yeah. Okay.
But I've known especially little busy kids that really like to move their body and play a lot, which is a lot of children. I've definitely seen that. And I've even seen a mom who, I worked with a mom once who was sad that her kid didn't want to breastfeed anymore around two. And, you know, we had to talk a lot about, well, you know, this is the way your child needs. Your child is telling you that he's ready to move on.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh. And, you know.
Yeah.
So it can happen in all different ways, but it's a relationship. And I think both parties need to be sort of acknowledged. So if your kid is still showing a need to nurse, how can I meet his need without driving myself crazy? Can be a question, right? So do I need to put limits? Do I need to have time frame? Do we need to have just one place in the house where we nurse twice a day? And that way he gets his nursing time in and I also get a little bit more body autonomy if that's what I'm after. It depends on the mom, but yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
So we have some questions that people sent in, so I'm going to move on to those. Steph on Instagram asks, do I have to wean if I want to start trying for another baby?
Oh, that's such a good question. Fertility is a sticky widget. It's very, I'm sure you know. It's highly variable. So I would say some moms... can, if they're not fertile, right? So if you know you're not ovulating, and some moms, how old was the baby again?
She didn't say.
So yes, you can totally continue to breastfeed and get pregnant. There are some of us though, in order to trick our body into ovulating again, are going to have to switch up the nursing a lot or go a much longer period of time without nursing because it's that nipple stimulation, hormonal stimulation to the body that keeps the estrogen levels really low and, and right. And so some of us can continue to nurse and we'll get pregnant naturally anyway, like our period is back and we're ovulating. Others of us are going to have to maybe like really vary how much, like cut down on the nursing or make sure we have one long stretch every day with no nursing whatsoever to jumpstart our body into ovulation again. Others of us, especially if we're undergoing any kind of fertility treatments like IVF, most doctors are really going to want you not lactating and nursing at all. They want that variable off the table. And mainly, this is not my area of expertise, but I would say I think they just don't know. And they don't like having that extra variable in the mix when we're trying to get pregnant in a very intentional, assisted way, if that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely.
So you probably, you know, a lot of people get pregnant while they're nursing. So it's not 100% birth control, especially as the baby gets older and spaces out their nursings more and more.
Yeah.
And often it's when that baby starts sleeping long stretches and starts eating a lot more solids around a year. If the mom has been doing pretty intensive breastfeeding, that's often when fertility will return. But it can be very spotty, right? It's not necessarily going to, if you were regular before, you might not be regularly ovulating. I love that book, Taking Charge of Your Fertility.
Okay.
I don't know if you're familiar with it, but she does have a section on lactation and tracking your ovulatory cycles, and that would be a good resource.
Okay. We'll put a link to that in our show notes for sure.
But yeah, it's highly variable, so I don't have like a pat answer.
Yeah. But you can get pregnant while you're breastfeeding.
You
know there's a lot of surprise babies from people who heard it was birth control.
Right. And I also would encourage you, you know, I would hate for someone to think they have to wean completely to get pregnant. That's not always the case.
Yeah. So this is from Karen on Facebook. She says, as far as transitioning from formula to milk, I think she might mean
cow milk
or from breast milk to other kinds of milk. So she says from formula to milk, but I'll read the rest of the question it'll be there. I would love to hear what a lactation consultant thinks about alternatives to cow's milk, soy milk, almond milk, coconut milk, etc. And she said in a recent episode, we talked about how my pediatrician said that the babies don't, or the toddlers don't need cow's milk if they have adequate nutrition elsewhere. So she's wondering if the alternatives line up.
Okay. So just to back up a little bit, and then I'm going to answer her question. If you continue to breastfeed your toddler past a year, I think, you know, 3-4 times a day, you really don't need to worry about introducing liquid cow's milk. Okay. There is, the pediatrician often will tell you, oh, now that your baby's 12 months old, they need to get X amount of ounces, maybe not your pediatrician, but many, X amount of ounces of whole milk cow's milk between 12 and 24 months. That's assuming that the kid isn't breastfeeding, because most pediatricians, most of the people in their practice are probably going to be weaning around 12 months, if not before, in the U.S., not everybody. If you were to look at the nutritional panel, nutritional profile of, say, almond milk versus a whole milk cow's milk, they're very different. I really wouldn't assume that these boxed oat milk, almond milk, and they all have sort of different nutritional profiles. Mm-hmm. They really don't have the same kind of nutritional punch that a whole cow's milk would have. Mm-hmm. That being said, a lot of people don't tolerate cow's milk very well, including toddlers. Mm-hmm. And so if you're not breastfeeding, I'm with your pediatrician. If the kid is not breastfeeding at all, I would, and you're not a vegan, say, I would definitely add whole milk yogurt, mm-hmm. cheese, you know, other sources of dairy, fat, protein, and minerals to the diet. But like I said, if the child is continuing to breastfeed past a year and you don't want to introduce a lot of dairy products or it doesn't work for your family very well, you're going to be covered nutritionally. So no, I wouldn't sub, say, almond milk for mm-hmm. cow's milk. It's more akin to juice if you actually look at this, especially if it's sweetened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And coconut milk, although I like that, I use it in cooking and stuff like that. It's very high in fat, very low in protein. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? So it's very different, even though it's liquidy and kind of looks like milk.
What about like goat's milk? You hear about goat's milk?
Yeah, I mean, goat's milk is similar to cow's milk. It's not really that much. People say it's closer to human milk. It's not really. It's a bovine milk. Mm-hmm. Some kids tolerate goat milk yogurt better than cow milk product. Mm-hmm. Goat milk, plain goat milk, liquid goat milk. Mm-hmm. And so you just going to have to experiment. Mm-hmm. But certainly there are lots of children all over the world that don't get dairy products at all. And as long as they're getting a nutrient-dense diet in, you know, overall, mm-hmm. and hopefully some breast milk too, they're going to be okay.
And what about toddler formula?
Oh, this is such an interesting question. Yeah, really not recommended. Toddler formula is where, okay, so dairy consumption in the U.S. Has gone way, way down over the last 4 decades or so. Mm-hmm. People used to drink a lot more milk in general. Mm-hmm. And yet the dairy industry continues to be subsidized by the government. So there's a surplus every year, like a ton of surplus of mm-hmm. dairy. A lot of it right now is going into these toddler formulas. Toddler formulas, read the ingredients, folks. It's got a lot of added sugar to mm-hmm. it, much sweeter. And there's been a cry from a lot of health professionals, like, this is contributing to childhood obesity. Don't, you know, unless you have a special need, like, you, and discuss this with your doctor, of course, mm-hmm. your baby was a preemie and isn't gaining well as a toddler or something, you know, there may be reasons to use them, but mm-hmm. in general, you would switch from an infant formula or breast milk. If you're weaning at a year, then you'd go on to whole cow's milk, which is much less sugary mm-hmm. and much less expensive.
Yeah, it's a lot cheaper. Yeah.
So I don't recommend toddler formulas in general unless there's some kind of special situation.
And okay.
They'd be working with the doctor anyway.
Well, that's the end of our listener questions. I just had one final question for you, which is, yeah. do you want to tell us again, like, how we can find you
Absolutely.
If people need your help or want yeah. to join your, what do you call them? Your
breastfeeding hang.
Your breastfeeding hang.
Yes. Okay. So my website is lactationconsultantla.com. And my Instagram handle is jessica.claire.ibclc. And let's see, every Monday I'm at the Family Room San Marino from starting in March, 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. And that's a drop-in. Come with your questions and your baby. Breastfeeding hang. And then the Toluca Lake breastfeeding hang is going to be every Tuesday from 1 to 2:30 p.m. So I'd love to see some folks there because we're just ramping up that space. That's brand new location.
Very
for
exciting.
Us. Yes.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you again so, so much. You're a great resource and we're so happy to
I'm
have
so
you
happy
help
to
us.
Be here. Thank you for having me again.
All right.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Shauna, think of all the relationships you have in your life. From parents, siblings, your friends, kids, coworkers, even neighbors, there's a lot of human interaction, which we know doesn't always go perfectly.
Oh, you know I don't have a perfect relationship with my next door neighbor, and I can't change her, but I can work on my own reactions to her and how she treats my family.
Absolutely. Strengthening your own coping skills and setting healthy boundaries in any relationship are important, and therapy can be a great place to work on these types of things.
Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma, although of course it is helpful in those situations too.
I've noticed that doing weekly therapy helps me handle the things that cause overwhelm in my life, like constantly balancing kids, work, and self-care.
I love that therapy helps me have insights about myself that I might not have otherwise. It's always great to get an objective take on what I'm going through.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Visit BetterHelp.com/BFP today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BFP. Hey, listeners. This episode is proudly brought to you by LolaVie, an award-winning hair care line founded by the fabulous Jennifer Aniston. You know, hair so iconic, it needs no introduction.
Okay, imagine this. Jen got tired of the same old struggle we all face, choosing between hair products that work and ones that are actually good for us. With LolaVie, that dilemma is history.
We all put our hair through the wringer. Coloring, heat styling, stress, the list goes on. Over time, it takes a toll. That's why it's crucial to have products that not only repair the look of the damage, but also shield your locks from future harm.
Enter LolaVie's best sellers, the cult classic Glossing Detangler and Perfecting Leave-In Conditioner. These aren't just styling products, they're your hair's new best friends.
And here's a treat for you listeners. For a limited time, you get an exclusive 15% off your entire order at LolaVie.com. Just use code BFP at checkout. I have been using the Glossing Detangler and Leave-In Conditioner, and I love them. I love how soft and healthy my hair feels after using them.
I love their restorative shampoo and conditioner plus intensive repair treatment. They smell so good, make my shower feel like a spa, and never leave my hair looking or feeling dry.
LolaVie's products are naturally derived in plant-based goodness. No silicone, sulfates, parabens, or gluten, and of course, cruelty-free and vegan.
Unlock Jennifer Aniston-approved hair at LolaVie.com. As our loyal listeners, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use code BFP at checkout.
That's 15% off your order at LolaVie.com with promo code BFP. Please note, you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined.
After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you.
Back, and it's time for our weekly BFPs and BFNs. Laura, you're up. What do you got?
I've got a BFP this week.
All right.
So they are refillable food pouches for babies.
Ooh, okay. Tell me more.
Okay. I knew these existed because, you know, the world wants you to like do everything, make your own baby food, do all this stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And my baby loves the pouches these days. You know, he gets a little picky sometimes, like he likes one kind 1 week and then the next week he doesn't like it. But anyway, he likes the pouches. But this is not about making my own like purees to put in the baby pouches because I don't have time for that. And okay. The whole point of the pouches is the convenience, right? You buy mm-hmm. it, you hand it over, it's fine. And yeah, we've talked about how it sucks for the environment to use, you know, those disposable pouches. So this could solve that problem, but this is not why I bought them. I bought them because of yogurt.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Thank you.
That's brilliant. I hate feeding my baby yogurt. Like, I literally will not do it because I hate how messy it is.
I felt like that thing where the cartoon character gets a light bulb above its head.
Yeah.
Like, I was just like, oh my gosh, I need to get these refillable pouches and put the fucking yogurt inside of them. Yeah. And then the baby can eat the yogurt without it getting all over him, and uh-huh, I don't have to sit there spooning it, because he won't let me spoon anything into his mouth anymore. He just wants to do it himself, but he does not have the dexterity or the patience to like eat yogurt properly with a spoon.
Yes. You know?
Like, he'll get it, I could hand him a spoon and he'll put it in his mouth, and then he'll like put it on his head, and then he'll throw it on the ground. So I got these. The ones I got were, they're called Wee Sprout, W-E-E Sprout, double zipper reusable food pouches. I got them on where else but Amazon.com. Mm-hmm. And you could either get like a variety pack that are like 5 ounces and 7 ounces, or you can get like a 6 pack of either, right? Mm-hmm. Depending on what size you think your kids are going to want. They're dishwasher safe, freezer safe, no PVC, phthalate, BPA, blah, 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 all that stuff that people are worried about. So it's a safe little pouch for them to use. And honestly, it's so easy to fill. You just pop open the bottom, you spoon the yogurt in, and then you close it, and it's got two zippers. And I was all worried it was going to always, like, squeeze out the bottom, but we haven't had that problem at all. They're pretty sturdy.
Awesome.
And, yeah, they're great. So we really like them. And a six-pack, I think, is, like, more than enough. We actually gave one to a friend because, you know, you're not feeding them yogurt six times a day, so mm-hmm. you always have one available. So, yeah, that's been really, really great. And it's gotten us, you know, we haven't had yogurt for, gosh, like a month or two because mm-hmm. I just hate doing it. And now we can do it. Awesome. My other plug is Siggy's, if you have that in your area.
I was going to say, what kind of yogurt do you feed him?
So specifically, there's a Siggy's that is whole milk yogurt. So I think it's like 4% milk fat in there. And they have a blue top, like the foil on top is blue, and it's a no sugar added whole milk yogurt with fruit in it.
Okay.
So it's got like, there's like a raspberry flavor, and then there's like a banana and cinnamon flavor.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I've ever seen. So that's actually what we use because you're supposed to give them like whole fat yogurt, but then it's hard to find flavored whole fat yogurt that doesn't have a bunch of sugar in it.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, he loves the Siggy's with the blue top. So that's what we do. And it's great because I think it's actually really helping his tummy because, you know, it has the probiotics. You know,
Ooh, good, yogurt's good for them.
So, assuming they don't have a, you know, dairy intolerance or something. But
right.
But I've noticed that he was having some problems with, like, constipation and stuff. So, and everyone says, oh, don't give dairy if there's constipation. But I've noticed it improve with mm-hmm. the yogurt. And I think it's because of all the probiotics. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that idea. I wonder if you could put like smoothies mm-hmm. inside of these little pouches.
Yeah.
Like I've got one of those little, what are they called? Little
like the Ninja?
Ninja. Yeah, I have a little Ninja blender. It's so easy to just throw some stuff in there and like make a little smoothie.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I could put that in a pouch and trick my baby into getting vegetables and fruit.
Yeah, yeah you definitely could. Yeah,
ooh,
and I know
have to get this.
Cece definitely loves those pouches, right? So, and
yeah.
they're the same size, you know, like they're totally familiar. The first time I gave it to him, he was like, yeah, I know what to do with this, you know?
Okay.
So, yeah, it's great.
WeeSprout
reusable food pouches. So, highly recommend. Get that yogurt on. Shauna, do you have a BFP or a BFN for us this week?
I have a BFP.
Yay.
My BFP is digital photo album.
Okay.
Okay, which I kind of knew that these existed and just kind of like wrote them off as stupid for no apparent reason. I don't know why. Just didn't seem like anything I needed or wanted in my life.
Wait, and okay, then, digital photo. I don't. Is it like a physical thing?
So, well, I'll get to what I
okay.
have, but a digital
okay.
photo album is basically like a picture frame or something that will rotate digital images.
Got it. So it's not an album like folder on your phone, but like a real
no,
physical
something
thing
you
world.
Would put on your shelf at home.
Got it. Okay.
Yes. Okay. So I kind of heard of these things as like, oh, I'm going to get grandma this, you know, and
mm-hmm.
load it with pictures of the kids or whatever. So I never thought that I would ever want one. But for Christmas, I got Steve a new phone. And for some reason, Verizon was like, when you buy this phone, we'll give you a free Google Home Hub.
Okay.
Okay. And I didn't even know what that was. Actually, specifically, it's called the Google Nest Hub.
Okay.
And it's like a small iPad almost that sits on your counter or your bookshelf.
Mm-hmm.
It's the size of like a paperback book or something
okay.
like that, you know? And it's a smart device for your home, so you can connect it to your, like, Nest, you know, to control the thermostat and your Sonos to play music. And we're all about that kind of stuff. We have, like, six Alexas, one in every room of our house, so we're totally into this kind of stuff. And we're like, yeah, sure, we'll take that for free. Why not? And Steve sets it up, and the first thing I realize is that it connects to Google Photos, and when it's not in use, it rotates photos automatically from your Google Photos account. So he, like, would tell it, you know, show photos of CCL, Steve and Shauna, you know, family members and
mm-hmm.
stuff. So it doesn't show random photos of the receipt, picture
sure.
of a receipt you took.
A screenshot of a really stupid text message conversation you had or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So it has been just a surprising delight to have pictures from the last few years randomly show up in a way that I can see them. like, because they're right now, they're all just like trapped in the mm-hmm. cloud somewhere, you know? Like, I save all my photos to Google Photos. I delete them off my phone to keep space on my phone. And then I never really look at them. They're just there.
Yeah.
And it's really fun. Like, it'll pop up pictures from when Elle was a newborn, or when Cece was a newborn, or when Elle was one. And it's like, oh, yeah, I remember that. And Elle loves it. She looks at the photos all the time, you know, and it's just a reminder of lots of good memories, and it's easy to use and super fun.
That's a great idea, actually, because I'm in the same boat. I have so many photos, and I only look at them every once in a while when I get a, like, notification, like, this time last year, and then I'll, like, go and look through, but I have so mm-hmm. many photos, and I love that Google Photos... I guess love might be a really strong word, because, like, I, on one hand, I'm, like, freaked out by the fact that Google Photos is so good at facial recognition.
Uh-huh.
But I also love it because you can, like, label faces in Google Photos, and it's crazy how good it is at identifying, like, babies as they grow up.
I know. It's incredible.
It might not be as good with your babies, though, because they look so much alike.
When they were newborns, Google Photo did not know which was which. They mixed them up. But I think it's understood now who's who.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and you train it, right? It asks, like, is this so-and-so or so-and-so? But it's so nice to be able to be like, I need, like, I do it with us. If we're looking for a photo of us together, I'll just look for, like, Shauna and Laura, and it'll pop up all the photos we've ever taken together. That's how we found, like, that photo from 2007 or whatever that we posted on Instagram a couple weeks ago.
I know. It's really cool. The only downside with this, of course, is that sometimes it will display just real shitty pictures of, like, or weird ones. Like, today I was looking at it and I was like, what is that? It's a selfie I took of myself sitting mm-hmm. in the front seat of my car wearing mm-hmm. Elle's baby bib from a few years ago. And I'm like, what is that about? Obviously, I have no recollection. I don't know why I was wearing that. I assume I was doing something silly or something. But so it's like, okay, that's cool.
Oh, that's funny. You, who I think was a vanguard in this, you know, realm of showing pictures of a digital photo album, is our friends Jen and Steven. You know how when you go to their house, they're like screensaver on their TV is just a rotating batch of photos, and it has been for years.
Yes, that's right.
And it's always so fun. Like, we will end up sitting there just watching the photos go through, even though it's a screensaver, and we'll be like, oh, look how little your baby was.
Yeah.
So they were onto something.
They really were. And I never caught on. I resisted for some weird reason. And yeah, now I'm a fan. So
I know, now I want one.
Yeah, get one. And the Google Nest Hub is great. I really love it. It can play the news. It can, like, a video of the news. It can play YouTube videos. It tells me the weather. I actually prefer it to the Alexa because I like the visual part of it. I can bring it in the kitchen and it displays recipes. This is not an ad.
Not an ad. I swear. Not an ad.
Not an ad. I really like
mean,
this
if
thing.
Google wants to sponsor our show, though, we are open.
Yes. Get hit in us touch. Up, Google. Oh, my goodness. All right. I think that's about it for this week. Should we wrap things up?
Let's do it. Let's let Google know where they can find us.
Yes. And if you want to find us to let us know your weekly BFPs or BFNs or anything else on your mind, reach out. Laura, where can everyone reach us?
We are on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at BFP Podcast. We also have a Facebook community group. Just search Big Fat Positive Community and request to join. It's a closed group, but I will add you right away, and you can join in on all the amazing discussions we're having in there, including some super cute newborn photos.
Yes!
So cute little smooshes. Or you can send us an email, contact@bigfatpositivepodcast.com.
If you like our show, please spread the love. Tell your friends to listen to our show. Leave us a rating, a review. We would be so grateful. We really want to get the word out about our show. So spread the love. Big Fat Positive is produced by Laura Bierick, Shauna Maiko, and Steve Yeager.
Thanks for listening, everyone. We will see you next week.
Bye. No.
You're telling me no?
Can I take 1 minute to refill my iced coffee?
Oh, I thought you were telling, like, the dog no or something.
No, I'm just pissed that that was the last sip of my coffee and I didn't
realize
it.
I'm going to try to figure out a good way to lump all this stuff together.
Sweet.